The Bible says that you will overcome the devil and the works of the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And unfortunately, the country that we live in, most people don't want to testify. I don't know exactly why, but you know, some people might think that it's a sign of weakness. You know, if I go and testify, then I'm admitting that I had problems. Let's quickly test that. How many of you would say that you have absolutely no problems as you are sitting here tonight? You've got not one problem, no issues. So what's the problem then? You know, the thing is, we all have some problem. We all got stuff that we are working through. The thing is, being a child of God gives us the ability to actually do something about it. Not being a child of God means that you will be stuck in that rut for the rest of your life. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the love of Jesus Christ in your life, there is nothing that you can do to change your circumstances. And when He does do something for you, the best thing that you can do is to testify. I often say to people that when you read the story of the Gadarene demoniac in the book of Mark chapter 5, we find a man that had no life. A man whose life was non-existent because he spent most of his days in the mountains and in the tombs crying out to his gods and cutting, slashing himself with stones. That's no life. That's a dismal existence. But you cannot call it life. And then one day, he meets with Jesus. And the Lord does this phenomenal miracle that he casts a whole bunch of hair-raising chocho devils out of this man and gives him back his life. Now, can you imagine the gratitude in this man's heart? No, we can't really, because we haven't lived his life. But I suppose we can sort of imagine it. And when he comes back to Jesus, he says to Jesus, Lord, there's only one thing that I want to do. I want to be in your presence every single day of my life, from now until eternity. I want to be a disciple. I want to follow you wherever you go. I want to wait on you hand and foot. I want to be close to you. And you know, the funny thing is, Jesus gives him a pretty weird answer. I would have thought Jesus would say, man, what a blessing. Yes, come and join my group. But he didn't. Jesus said, no. That is not your destiny. Go back and tell them what I've done for you. You hear what? Go back and tell. It's time that we go back and tell what the Lord has done. So Diana, please come and greet the people. It's Diane. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Diane. Come and stand here. You've got a pretty voice, man. Don't stress. She's already stressed about her voice now. Huh? Your voice is going to be fine. All right, good stuff, good stuff. All right, Diane, I'm going to stand here with a little mic between you and I so that we can record your testimony. Is that all right with you?
Perfect.
All right, good stuff. Diane, I would like you to introduce yourself to the people and then just maybe share with them how you managed to come to these specific meetings. In other words, how the Lord brought you here.
Okay. Hello everyone, I'm Diane. Okay. My voice still sounding like her. Okay, what happened was me and my daughter got very sick, okay? We've been sick for over a year and she's been diagnosed with different stuff, but no one could really tell what was going on. And the same with me as well. And one of the things that I was diagnosed with was a hiatus hernia. Now, you don't know who don't know what it is. It's your stomach that's sort of like turning inside out a little bit, okay? And it's horrible because you suffer and it affects your breathing and whatever. And then I was also diagnosed with other stuff, but they couldn't really put their finger on it, okay? And Fernando and his wife told us about the meetings. So we decided one day, that's it. We can't do it on our own. We need God, okay? And anyone who's here for the first time, you need God. You cannot do anything without God, okay? Because within... Amen. Okay, the first night that we came here, I got healed. My daughter got healed. My marriage got saved. God literally lifted us from the darkness into light. Okay, it's hard work. You have to keep it that way, okay? But what happened was the night, just before Rian started praying for everyone, I felt I was standing in this aisle, and the anointing of God was so powerful, okay? I felt a finger in my stomach. It was quite weird, okay? That it pushed my stomach right back in. And since that day, I've never, ever, ever, ever had problems with heartburn, breathing, whatever funny problems. And it stayed with me. It was very special. I didn't share it with anyone, but tonight I'm doing it because that's how God works. Okay, and yeah, amen. What else?
All right, let's first give the Lord a big hand.
Yeah. God is good.
All right. Now, I have to say that that's not all that the Lord has done for you. He's actually done quite a bit for you.
Yeah.
Would you like to share one or two of the other things that he has done for you?
He's been very busy. The devil's been hectically busy, but God's been even more busy. God's delivered me of a lot of things. Chochos that I didn't know I had. Okay? That's been from generational curses and a little girl named Jezebel, because I call her a girl because she's puny compared to God. God sorts her out. Okay? A lot of things, you know?
Can I what's your husband's name?
George.
George, come here quickly. Come here, man. I want to introduce you guys to George. Now, you don't mind if I share with him a bit about one of the deliverances that took place in your life. Is that all right? A couple of weeks ago, we were praying with Diana, and I was specifically praying against the spirit of Jezebel. Now, for those of you that don't know, Jezebel is a female demon that loves to control men. And I asked her whether she's had a history of this attitude in her marriage, and she says, yeah, no, definitely. And so I began to pray, and this thing freaked out, and it was lying here screaming and hunting on and whatever. And we were busy casting this devil out, and then the next moment her husband comes running up and he puts his hands on his wife and he says to that devil, now you devil, you, what did you, how did you put it?
Put it and said, get out, I'm the head of the house.
Yes, amen. And you know what, that devil jumped this high and he ran out of this place. Give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Hey, God is good. God is good. Amen. Guys, we are very proud of you, and we are proud of what God is doing in your life. Keep up the good work, and God bless the two of you.
And your
family. Amen. Thank you. Cheers. All right. Tonight is the 18th time that we are going to be speaking on the Holy Spirit, which I know some people might think is a little bit on the excessive side, but I don't believe so, because you see, my friend, it is really true that there is no way that you can live a Christian life, that you can be a true child of God, unless the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Because you yourself can't do nothing for God unless the Spirit of God is in you and working in you to accomplish God's will and God's purpose for your life. And the problem with the Holy Spirit is that he is very misunderstood in most churches and by most Christians. We've been looking at the book of Exodus chapter 30 verse 22 to 25. I'm going to read it to you quickly. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. Now listen to this. Make these into a sacred anointing oil. The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he is advising him, or giving him a recipe that should be adhered to and should never be deviated from, that would bring into being what God himself refers to as a sacred anointing oil. Now let's quickly understand something. The power of God cannot be contained in a little bottle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let me show you something. Just take a look at this. Here I have a bottle of oil. Is the power of God inside of this oil? No. But what does this oil represent? It represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just hold on to that for me if you don't mind. Thank you. So, this is God's very own Old Testament recipe for the sacred anointing oil. Being symbolic, from our perspective, of the anointing of the Holy Spirit And he gives the following spices. I'm going to go over them very quickly. Myrrh, cinnamon, cane, and cassia. And he says that these have to be added in the right quantities to the mixture for the mixture to be known as the holy anointing oil or the sacred anointing oil. Now myrrh represents purity. It represents a heart that is willing to get rid of the rubbish that is locked up inside. You see, the four spices, each represents something. It represents an attitude that we have in order for the anointing to be able to work in our life. If you think of any recipe, a recipe will only work if you follow the recipe. You can't get clever and decide to swap out this or that with whatever. The other night we were talking about making lasagna. And I said to you that if you do not have lasagna, putting in cream crackers is just not the same thing. You know, somebody is going to spot the difference. It's probably not going to go down very well. So you have to follow the recipe. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Now, you see, here's the problem. A lot of Christians are craving the anointing of God. They really want the anointing. They go to church and they are searching for the anointing. They are praying for the anointing, but nothing is happening in their life because they have adjusted the recipe to meet what they think is right. And my friend, it's not about what you think. It's not about what you want. It's about what God says. And God says this is what needs to go into the anointing. These four spices combined with olive oil will bring about what God refers to as the sacred anointing oil. Now the first one, myrrh. Myrrh is released in your life when you come to the place that you mean business with God. And that you realize that locked inside of your heart is a bunch of rubbish that should not be there. Let me ask you a question. Where does Jesus live? Jesus lives in your heart. Man, some people expect him to live in a pigsty because there's a whole bunch of rubbish that they refuse to deal with inside of this heart. Now, how can the anointing be upon your life if your heart is full of rubbish? It cannot. So in order for the aroma, the fragrance of myrrh to be released by your life, you have to come to a place that you are willing to start dealing with your heart. And that also means the things that you have been running away from for years. Like confronting certain issues that you don't think you should confront. Dealing with certain feelings that up to now you've decided, I'm just going to make like it's not there. Is ignoring it and dealing with it the same thing?
No.
You see, most people's way of dealing with problems is, I make like it's not there and then it's just going to go away. If it's from the devil, it'll never go away until you confront it. You have to confront him. The Bible says, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Jose, please come and stand here. Let's just say that Jose is the devil. I know he doesn't look like a devil.
I'm a small devil.
If he was younger, his granny would have probably said, yes, he is a devil, but you've outgrown that phase, haven't you? You're much better. Let's check with your wife. Is he better? There was a bit of hesitance there, but I'll let it slip for now. I'll let it go for now. All right. Now, let's just say that he's the devil. Let me show you what happens if I turn around and I run away from him. Jump on my back. Ooh. Now, you see, I want you to notice that I'm still trying very hard to run away from my problems. I'm so glad I didn't call Rion forward. Rion, just get up for the people quickly. You understand now?
Yeah, that's why you called me.
So, you see, the thing is, as long as I'm trying to run away from my problems will find me wherever I go. It's not that difficult. But when I begin to resist, and I begin to push it away, then eventually I'll get it out of the way, and I'll be able to go forward with my life. You have the right to feel rejected, devil. Go sit down. Good. Now, that is myrrh. Cinnamon represents obedience. Now, if you want to know how I got onto the fact that it represents this and that, you have to get the CDs of the earlier series. But myrrh represents purity. Cinnamon represents obedience. In other words, a heart that is willing to listen to God and that is willing to do what God requires of you. That doesn't backchat, that doesn't give God a hard time. That isn't arrogant and full of rubbish and full of nonsense, but a heart that listens to God and says, Lord, you know best. Even when the Lord says, forgive so-and-so, after you've held a grudge for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or who knows however long. A heart that would rather be obedient to God than be obedient to man. And when we begin to create this lifestyle, then we begin to produce the aroma, the fragrance, the flavor of cinnamon, which can be added to the oil that will eventually become the sacred anointing oil. The next one was Cain. Cain represents brokenness. Now that doesn't mean that when your neighbor is playing his records very loud, 12 o'clock at night, you can go and bust his nose and say, the pastor said, I have to represent brokenness. You understand? That's not what it means. Brokenness means coming before God in brokenness and humility. For you to understand what brokenness is, brokenness is coming to a place that you realize that you need God. Coming to a place that when God speaks to you about your life, instead of getting arrogant, instead of getting upset, instead of throwing a tantrum, you have repentance and remorse and you are willing to change. You know, I have to say once again that a lot of Christians, I sometimes wonder what they are doing in church, because they don't like being told what's right and what is wrong. And we are at the risk right now of creating a generation that only wants to be preached what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. You know, a lot of oaks, when you preach stuff that steps on their toes, they are very quick to want to take their stuff and go somewhere else. But you know what? If you walked with Jesus, he would have called a spade a spade. He didn't play games. God doesn't play games where sin is abounding. God wants to deal with it. And so you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes and he brings conviction that something is wrong, the way that you react when the conviction comes will determine whether you are producing the aroma, the fragrance of Cain in your life. Yes or no? If you get all uptight and rebellious and upset and you storm out, let me tell you something, you are producing a different aroma. The type of aroma that can clear a room very quickly. Not because it smells so good, but because it smells so bad. And realize that you will never produce the aroma of Cain, which is needed to make up the holy anointing oil. The next one was called cassia. And cassia simply represents humility. A humble and a contrite spirit before God. And a lot of people battle to be humble. You know, we live in a country where a lot of people, the slogan that they live their life by is cowboys don't cry. There is a lot of pride in our country. There is a lot of pride in our churches. You know, we sit with a very real situation that we are in a country where there are 11 different official languages, which means that there are probably 11 at least different cultures. And the one culture is constantly thinking that they are better than another culture. Then you break it down into churches, and the one church thinks that they are better than the other church. Then we have different colors, and the one color thinks that they are better than the other color. What is that? That is pride. And that's one of the reasons why we battle to see anointing in this country. Because we allow the devil to bring the differences that we have into our hearts in such a way that everybody thinks that they are better or superior to somebody else. I've got some very good news for you. You are no better than nobody else, and I am no better than anybody else. When God looks at us, we are the same. But the devil would love for me to think that I am better than you or somebody else, because he has realized by now that the more I have this attitude, the less the anointing upon my life. And he doesn't want me to be a threat, and he doesn't want you to be a threat. So he'll give you illusions of grandeur. He'll make you think that you are something that you are not. Even if it is only to destroy the anointing that is upon your life. Together, these fine spices have to be mixed together with olive oil. And then God said, this will produce the sacred anointing oil. Now, it's very important that you and I understand that we play a role in this anointing coming to being in our lives. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that we are the ones that have to provide the fine spices that will eventually go into the olive oil that will produce the correct mixture. God cannot produce humility in you. You must choose to be humble and to live a humble life. Hello? Listen here, my friend. You must understand something. God is not a dictator. He's not going to force you to be humble. Yes, He'll put you in many situations where you can choose to be humble. But whether you are humble or not is your decision. God won't repent on your behalf. He doesn't need to repent on your behalf. You are the one that needs to repent. Repentance means realizing that something that you are doing is wrong. And choosing to honor God, not to honor man, to fix that which is wrong. You have to choose to have a contrite, broken spirit when the Lord deals with you in areas of your life. And you have to choose to purify your life. My friend, the church is full of people that want to play Christian. Prozzi always says they know how to talk Christianese. That doesn't fool God, because He lives in the pigsty that you call your heart if you refuse to deal with it. So you see, the thing is, you can give me a front, and you can give people a front and say, you know what, I'm such a nice person and I'm doing all these Christian things and I'm so holy and what. Guess what? There are two people that you cannot fool, God and the devil. You can't fool God because He's living in your heart and He knows what's going on there. And you can't fool the devil because the stench of the rubbish that you will not deal with, He smells it a mile away. So the thing is, when it comes to the anointing, my life, my attitude, my lifestyle plays a very powerful role in whether anointing will be upon my life or not be upon my life. And let me put it to you this way so that you can understand. It is useless for you to go from meeting to meeting to meeting and ask the people, pray for me for anointing, pray for me for anointing, if the anointing cannot come about because you have brought the wrong spices. Let's put it to you this way. Let's say that anger or violence or hatred represents chili powder. Is that one of the ingredients of the sacred anointing oil? Yes or no? No. No, definitely not. And maybe something like envy is mustard. Now, if I continue along these lines, you can figure out for yourself, by the time you've made that concoction and you put it upon yourself, it's only going to burn. It's not going to do nothing. And that's what's happening in some people's lives. It's just problems, problems, problems. Moving on. So the four things of myrrh and cassia and cane and cinnamon has got to do with the way we live our life. But you see, there is one element that we can't produce. We can't make it. And that is called the oil, the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. You see, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, there cannot be a sacred anointing oil. Because the thing that binds all of those spices together, the thing that gives it body, the thing that allows them to work together as a unit, is the anointing oil. It is the olive oil. So therefore, you have to understand that an unbeliever could never have an anointing. Why can an unbeliever never have an anointing? Because an unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit in their life. When does the Holy Spirit come into your life the first time? When you choose to become born again. The book of John chapter 3 says the following. That we must be born from above. Born again from above. Of the Spirit and of water. When we become born again, the Holy Spirit comes into our life to take us out of darkness and bring us over into light. Tonight when Diane was sharing her testimony, she also shared something to that effect, that the Lord has removed her and her family from darkness and brought them over into light. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens, because when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you begin to look at life differently. There might be many things that you thought to yourself was, ah, it's not a big deal, ah, it's not a big issue, before you became born again. But after the Spirit of God comes, it's like some people suddenly begin, they receive some intelligence. Stuff that before wasn't a problem for them, now they begin to look at it from a godly perspective. Why? Because the light is on. Now you can see how dangerous the things are that you are playing with. And so now you can make a choice to deal with it. There is also the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is when God pours out the power of His Holy Spirit upon your life. And the power of the anointing comes into your life and begins to equip you for the work of ministry, for the work that you are going to be doing in the kingdom of God. So therefore, I would have to say to you that every single believer that is sitting in this church tonight has some form of anointing upon their life. Whether it be because you were born again and the Spirit of God filled you then, whether it be because you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, at some point in time you have been exposed to the anointing and some anointing has come into your life. But now I want to share with you something interesting. And it is the fact that oil can go off. Oil can go old. Oil can go stale. If you take a look at the bottle of olive oil that you have in your pantry, you will notice that there is a sell-by date on it. Why do they put it there? Because it can spoil. Because an olive oil has a certain shelf life. It does not last forever. And it goes off just like any other fresh produce does. If you leave a bunch of olives outside, what's going to happen to them? They're going to either dry up or they're going to go rotten. They don't last forever. And so the oil that is tapped from them doesn't last forever either. Let me compare it to you with something different. I think then you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. How many of you know that in order for your car to run efficiently, it needs good, clean, fresh engine oil? I know most of you might have never been involved in this, but we have a good mechanic here. Would you say that a car can run without good oil? What happens to a car if it runs without good oil? What happens to it? It's going to run bearings. In other words, that is mechanic talk for it's going to blow the engine. And the funny thing is, we don't really see that oil, but the day you forget to put it in, you will be reminded very quickly that it's not there, because what you try and get out of the machine, it's not going to be there. It's going to start making a big noise. I'll give you a very practical example from my own life. When I was in my 20s, I was a real speed freak. The people that know me well will probably say to you that that has not changed. But I loved fast cars. Now, I didn't earn a massive salary, so I couldn't drive Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Corvettes and all of that stuff. So I had to go for the best bang for your buck cars that I could afford, and that was a toss-up between the Golf GTI and the Toyota Twin Cam 16-valve. And so I drove a GTI for a while, and then a friend of mine bought a Twin Cam, and I went for a spin, and I thought, yes, this car goes quite well. I think I need to sell my Golf, and I need to buy this Toyota, which I duly did. I sold the Golf, and I found a nice-looking Toyota Corolla Sprinter, Twin Cam, 16-valve. Seemed to be in very good condition. The interior was perfect. The paintwork was very good. It didn't look like the car had ever been in a very big smash or anything like that. I took it for a test drive. It went all right. It sounded okay. And I paid for the vehicle. I bought it from a very reputable car dealership. I drove the car for about 2 months when suddenly the engine began to make this weird knocking noise. That was my introduction to bearing knock. For those of you that don't know how this works, it simply translates into big, big money. And so I took the engine apart to see what was going on there. And you know what? What we noticed was not good. There was nothing left of the bearings in this car. They were gone. And it was quite clear that this engine had either been abused or it had been run without oil or something seriously disastrous had happened. So my wife phones the previous owner. We managed to trace the previous owner through the car's books. And I think there was still a telephone number in the car's books. And we phoned this guy up to find out what the story is with this car. And you know what? He told my wife that he's a rep and that his company only pays enough for the car's payments. They don't cover servicing and all of that type of stuff. So the car was serviced by the agents as long as it was under guarantee. And after that, he just never had the car serviced again. The last service that the vehicle had was at 40,000 kilometers, and I bought it at 120,000. He had ran the car with the same oil for 80,000 kilometers, and then he traded it in on a new one. And I went and I bought this bombshell. And I learned a very, very important lesson then. You can't trust a second-hand car salesman. But I learned another very important lesson. Unless you put good, clean, fresh oil in something that has got working parts, it's going to seize up. That's just the way things work. And the thing is, all oil has got some sell-by date. And interestingly enough, even the oil that you buy from Midas has got a shelf life. They can't leave it there for 10 years and then sell it to you, because it loses what we call viscosity, which is the ability to lubricate. It begins to break down after a certain amount of time. And after that amount of time, you have to get rid of it. There's nothing really much that you can do with it. So, here's a funny thought. Oil expires after a certain amount of time. And then it has to be replaced with new, fresh oil. So what about you and I? I realize that you are a man or a woman and not a machine. I realize that you don't have a gearbox and a transfer case and a diff and all sorts of things like that. I realize that you don't run on big ends and small ends and valve lifters and all sorts of stuff. But is there also some oil involved in your life? Well, yes, I believe so. Look at the scripture from the book of Psalm 92, verse 10. The psalmist here says something very interesting. He says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Oh, listen carefully. He clearly states here that he has been anointed with fresh oil. Now, the way that he says it, it stands to reason that you can't be anointed with fresh oil unless you have first been anointed with other oil that was no longer deemed to be fresh. Unless you came to a place where you say that, you know what, this oil, it's done its job. It's allowed me to be efficient. It's allowed me to be effective. But it has come to the place where it needs to be replaced with something new, with something fresh. And this is what he says. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now, here's the reality. It is very possible that there is somebody sitting here tonight that has received oil that allowed them to become efficient within the kingdom of God. Because let's quickly go through it again. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you in the guise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit taking place in your life, there is a release of God's oil, His holy anointing, that comes into a part of you that was dead until that time. Because without the anointing, the gifting inside of you cannot operate. So when the anointing comes upon you, something that was always in you but that could never work suddenly begins to work. And you begin to move along the destiny that God has for your life. And if we could once again say that you were a machine, then that machine suddenly starts, it begins to purr like a kitten, and it begins to produce something. Whether it is evangelism, whether it is a ministry of helps, whether it is whatever the case might be, something inside of you begins to work. But now some people went through that process 30 years ago. And they are still trying to cruise along with the oil that they received 30 years ago. But they can't understand why they are no longer effective. Why nothing wants to happen for them. Why all the doors seem to be closed. And why things happen quickly for some, but not for them. I want to put it to you this way. If you were a Toyota Corolla, a 1970 model, and you were still trying to run on the oil that you got from the dealership in 1970, you would have blown the motor long ago. Because the oil just won't last that long. Yet, this is the reality in many people's lives. They received some anointing yonks ago. And now they are still trying to run on what they received back then. And they realize that things just don't want to work out for them. You see, the Lord gives us an anointing for a very specific purpose. And when that time is up, or that purpose is up, just as the psalmist says, it's time for fresh anointing. It's time for new anointing. Think about it this way. Where were you in your life 20 years ago? Were you at the same place where you are now? Were you dealing with the same problems that you are dealing with now? Was the world the same as the way that it is now? The people that you were interacting with, were they the same as what they are now? You know, 20 years ago, I was growing up. Actually, 20 years ago, I was in matric. We had problems in school, but we didn't have the kind of problems that kids have in school today. We'd heard about drugs via the grapevine. I never saw any of it at school. I suppose that there might have been one or two kids that did experiment with it, but it was never talked about. It was very hush-hush. Nobody ever approached us and said, listen, do you want to buy acid or speed or something stupid like that? There was one or two oaks that used to smoke, but they used to go and smoke way there at the bottom by the Pavel unit, the stands, out of sight. It wasn't a culture in the school. It was a small little group. Now, you compare that with what's going on in our schools today. Today, the drug dealers go to school with the kids. There's one or two that don't smoke. Hello? Things are different. Life is different. The things happening in my life is different now than then. Now, if the anointing was given in my life back then to start me off in the kingdom of God, to begin to reveal to me certain truths from the scriptures and give me vision concerning to my life back then, if I insist on holding on to only that anointing, then that is all that I have. But it's been 20 years later. I should have moved on from that place long ago. You see, some people received an anointing at some point in time in their life, and things become, something powerful happened. Whether it be breakthroughs that came into their life, they started speaking in tongues, revelation came to them, things began to happen to them quick, and now they want to hold on to that anointing. They don't want to move on to anything new. But you don't realize that you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because that anointing came to start you off down a road, and new anointing has to come into you to provide the power of God for you to go further. And a lot of people don't want that. They want to live in the past. The Bible says you can't live in the past. You have to move on. Some people believe that if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit once, whether it be 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, that's fine, that's enough. Acts chapter 4 verse 31 says the following, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness." This is a couple of weeks or a couple of months after the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, everybody saw in a very special way the power of God being released, and tongues of fire came down, filled the people, and the energy of God, the power of God was manifest so that everybody could see it. And there was a phenomenal impact because daily people's lives were changed. The people had boldness. They went out and they preached the gospel. They went out and they touched. They laid hands on the sick and they got healed, etc., etc. So there was a powerful release of anointing to get the gospel going, to get people out there, for people to realize what God had placed inside of them. But apparently they needed a top up pretty quickly. Because a couple of weeks later, they were together and they were busy praying. And this is what it says. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What happened there? They received what the psalmist speaks about. I have been anointed with fresh oil. The task that they had was so big that the oil inside of them was used up fairly quickly. But that wasn't the problem, because God has an unlimited supply of anointing oil. And if it's used up and your attitude is correct, He will release a fresh anointing into your life whenever you need it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, there's this worldwide concern that in the next 50 years, we are going to lose all of our mineral deposits, and there will be no more coal, and there will be no more gas, and there will be no more petrol. Okay, somebody believes in electric cars. Me, myself, and I personally hope that they will store a little bit of petrol somewhere so I can still take my car out, but we'll see what's going to happen then. But the fact of the matter is, even though in the natural we are concerned about there not being enough crude oil, in the spirit you don't have to be concerned about that because God has got unlimited resources of the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit available to you and I and to the church. Psalm 92, verse 10 to 15. But my horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit even in their old age. They shall be fresh and they shall be flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. In this passage, the psalmist talks about receiving the fresh oil. And then he speaks of a number of blessings that comes into his life because of the fresh oil that has been released into his life. In other words, because of the anointing, there were certain blessings. Now you see, my friend, that has not changed. Those blessings remain the same. Let's look at a couple of the blessings that we can find in this passage that come about because of the release of fresh anointing. Psalm 92 verse 10, but my horn you have exalted like that of a wild ox. The word horn, as it is used here, comes from the Hebrew word geren, which represents strength and power and victory. The word exalt comes from the Hebrew word pham, which means to be raised up or to be promoted. So what am I saying? I'm saying to you that the scripture says here that because of the release of fresh anointing, there is more power that is coming to this person's life and there is promotion that has come into that individual's life. Raise your hands if you do not need promotion right now. You don't need promotion. Well, you've come to the right place, haven't you? Because I do believe that God wants to give people promotion. And listen, you man, don't be so narrow-minded to believe that the only place where God can promote you is at the workplace. Some of us need promotion from being a mediocre dad to becoming a wonderful dad. Somebody say hallelujah. Some of us need promotion from being a so-so husband to being a phenomenal husband. All the ladies say amen. My friend, promotion, when God gives it, is in all areas of life. Some of us need our children to be promoted. Amen. From the point of view that right now the enemy is messing with them and they are in the wrong friend circle, but God wants to promote them out of that circle of disaster and into a circle of trust, a circle of hope, a circle of life. When God gives promotion, it brings elevation to a new level out of rubbish and into something godly, into something good. Yes, some of you, I suppose you need promotion in the area of finance. Well, God can promote you. If God's anointing comes upon your life, then promotion has got to follow. So this fresh anointing brings with it fresh, new, greater power and promotion to new things. Let me give you a very good example that hopefully you'll remember what I'm sharing with you by. We all know what a door is, right? Now let's say you come to a door and the door is closed. You don't necessarily know what's on the other side of that door. Now when we're speaking about God, what would you say? What has God got on the other side of the door that you are standing in front of in the spirit tonight? Has he got heartache and pain and suffering and rejection and fear and despondency and hopelessness and despair? Is that how God works? No. But could we agree, based on scripture, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. Could we say that on the other side of the door that is facing you tonight, there is some really good things in your future? Now some of you are standing before a door right now that has very good things on the other side, but that door is stuck. Let's kick it. Somebody in front here just said, let's kick it. Sorry. That doesn't work with a stuck door. Who of you have messed around in the garage and worked on either your lawnmowers or on your car or on mechanical things? Just wave at me. Let me just see. How many of you have ever tried to deal with a very stuck nut or bolt? How many of you have tried so hard that you've actually broken the thing off or broken your door spanner? All right, now, there is a right way and a wrong way to remove a rusted bolt. If we follow the advice that was just given, yeah, we just kick it, we're probably going to break something. Hello? Yeah, it's happened to me once or twice that I have got frustrated and I have forced a bolt inside of an engine block and then it breaks off. And you know what I have to do then? I have to remove the whole engine and take it to some engineering shop or whatever, and they have to go through a whole process to get it out. So it costs me a lot of money and it gets me nowhere. But you know what? If you take a bit of oil, penetrating oil, and you spray it there and you leave it, and you come back in an hour's time or 2 hours time or 3 hours time, click, it comes loose as if it was never tightened in the first place. You put anointing, you put oil on something that is stuck, and check how quickly it begins to move. And it'll get it to move in a way that it is not broken, instead of by force destroying it in the process. If you have hinges on a door that refuse to open because of age, you do the same thing. You go and you take a bit of penetrating oil and you spray it, and you give it some time. And maybe you come back tomorrow and you turn the handle and open goes the door. The anointing allows us to move into something which right now we can't move into. Every single one of you that is here tonight, I say to you that there is a door in your life in the spirit. There might be more than one door in your life in the spirit that up until now you couldn't get through because you didn't have the anointing to allow it to open. But if you come under the anointing of God, if that fresh anointing begins to fill your life, then it'll also allow that door that right now can't open to open. The second thing that we can get from this passage of scripture, the second blessing that comes because of the fresh anointing, is vision or revelation. Psalm 92 verse 11 says, "My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies." In other words, he says, because the anointing has come upon my life, God has touched my eyes and I begin to see things in a different light. Maybe up until that time, the devil had convinced him that his enemies are going to destroy him. But when the anointing came upon him, he began to see the mind of Christ. He began to see things in a new light. Because when the light comes, everything changes. And he began to see that he is not losing the fight, he's winning the fight. His enemies are not destroying him, he's destroying them. Let me just remind you. There are days when the things go wrong. Raise your hands if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have to raise both. That's it. Yeah. There are days when we notice that things are going wrong and there's problems. And guess what the devil does in those days? He comes and he talks to you. And he says to you, "Listen, young man, you see, you made a big mistake becoming an enemy of mine. You made a big mistake becoming a child of God. It's just problems, problems, problems. Things don't seem to change for you." Can I give you a scoop? Can I tell you something? But it's not really a secret. If you go and read your Bible and you read all the way to the end, you will find out that we have the victory.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes.
We have the victory. Now, I hope I didn't spoil things for you. But the next time the devil comes and he wants to remind you of how dismal things are and he wants to get all cocky and tell you that he's winning, then you have to just remind him that you've read the book. You've seen the ending. And you say to him, "Devil, I win." I tell you what, he'll just explode. He'll just totally freak out because he knows that it's true as well. He's read the book. He knows. You win. So the anointing will change the way that you see things and allow you to see things from a godly perspective instead of only your own perspective. The anointing also allows you to have insight and discernment in what God shows you. Now I want to show you something that the Lord himself said to the church of Laodicea. Or Laodicea. Revelation 3 verse 17 to 18. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve that you may see. Looking at this scripture, the Laodiceans saw one thing. They saw, we are so powerful, we are so big, everything is going fine, everything is falling into place, we've got nothing to worry about, we've got no problems, everything is perfect in our life. And then Jesus comes and talks to them. And you notice very quickly that what he sees when he looks at them and what they see is not the same thing. And then he says to them, the biggest problem that they have is they have become spiritually blind. And you know what? The church today is still full of people that are totally spiritually blind. They think they see, but they do not see. Because their attitude is wrong. They couldn't see that they were on the wrong path. They couldn't see that they were heading for disaster. They couldn't see that the devil was running that church. But that was the truth. They were lukewarm, and Jesus said, I will spit you from my mouth. And Jesus says that there is only one thing that will open their eyes once again. Only one thing that will give them wisdom and discernment, insight and revelation. Listen to what he says. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may become rich, white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve that you may see. What needed to come on their eyes for them to begin to see what he saw? Anointing. He says, unless the anointing comes and touches your eyes, you will never see what I see, and you will always be on the wrong path. And unfortunately, many churches today are exactly where these people were. Why? Because there's no fresh anointing. They are blind. The next thing that comes, a blessing that comes because of the fresh anointing, is sensitivity. Psalm 92 verse 11. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. Fresh anointing touches your ears and it allows you to hear things that otherwise you could not hear. It gives you access to what God is saying in situations. And you know what? It's always better to hear from God before you make decisions. And it's a lot better to hear from God than to hear from the devil. The fourth blessing that came about because of the fresh anointing was the defeat of the psalmist's enemies. Psalm 92 verse 11, my eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my assailants. He says, I have been anointed with fresh oil. And then he says, as a result, this is what happened. My enemies have been destroyed. Please raise your hands if you know that you have enemies. Please don't think of your mother-in-law right now. We really have only one enemy, and that's the devil. And you know what? He's busy in everybody's life. He's busy in my life right now. He's busy in your life. The Bible says the devil is always scheming. Yes, he's busy. But the Lord says the anointing will come upon your life and it will do something about the enemy that is at work. Isaiah 10 verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off of your shoulder and his yoke from off of your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. In other words, when the anointing comes, when that fresh anointing is released, it brings about a destruction of what the enemy is busy doing in your life. I thought somebody would say at least hallelujah there. The next blessing is you will begin to prosper. You will begin to flourish. Psalm 92 verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The word flourish simply means to be prosperous. It means that you will be successful in that which you endeavor to do. The palm tree represents fruitfulness, and the cedar of Lebanon represents strength and permanence. So in other words, again, what this guy says is when the anointing, when the fresh anointing came upon his life, he found that he was prosperous in areas where before he battled to be prosperous. In fact, before, maybe nothing was happening there. The next thing, sustained life. Psalm 92 verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in an old age. They shall be fresh and they shall be flourishing. Those who continue to receive fresh anointing from God will grow old, but they will grow old differently. They won't sort of like fade away and just cease to exist. They will remain effective. They will remain purposeful. They will remain powerful in the things of the Spirit of God. They will leave their mark on this world, and the devil will remember their name forever.
Thank you, Lord.
The last thing, they will always have a testimony. When you are living under fresh anointing, you will always have something to testify about. Psalm 92 verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright, that He is my rock, and that there is no unrighteousness in Him. When God's anointing comes upon your life, we have seen that it brings vision, revelation, prosperity, and promotion. And if you have constant vision, constant revelation, constant promotion, constant revelation, how many of you know that it's difficult not to be able to testify? I mean, if things are just falling into place and the devil is getting sorted out and you are living a life of victory, the devil's going to find it extremely difficult to keep your mouth shut. You will want to testify. Because wherever you go, you will have something good to share with people. You know, one of the sad things is that most people in our country have very little to testify about. What does that say? They need some fresh anointing. Because under the anointing of God, things begin to happen in your life that give you something to testify about. Somebody that is under fresh anointing cannot keep their mouth shut.
Amen.
And can I tell you something? Somebody under fresh anointing doesn't have something to say because they want to gossip. They have something to say because God is good.
Amen.
Now, I'm finished. But there is one very important final note that I want to leave you with. Everything up until now that we have heard is great. I mean, I'm sure we all need more vision. We all need more wisdom. We all need more revelation. We can all do with prosperity. We can all do with all of the things that we have heard. We want our enemies to be defeated and we want to live a life of victory. But you see, there is one final point that is very, very important. Psalm 92 verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. I'm going to read it again. Please listen to these words. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. A tree, the life that it lives, the way in which it grows, is influenced by the area where you plant it. If I take what is a nice South African tree? A witstinkhout. I know because I've been blessed with a couple of them. Let's say I take a witstinkhout and I go and plant it in the Kalahari Desert. How far is it going to go? Not that far. If I take it and I go and plant it in a marsh, a vlei, soos wat ons het noem in Afrikaans, do you think it's going to grow? Probably not. There's too much water. What I need to do is I need to find the right place to plant it so that it can flourish. There is a certain climate that it wants. There is a certain type of soil that it wants. If I give it what it needs, it'll grow big. It'll become strong. It'll have broad branches. It'll have lots of leaves. It'll give lots of shade. I'll have a wonderful specimen of a tree. But I better plant it in the right place. The scripture says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Those that are planted in the world will go nowhere. Where do you flourish? Close to God. Listen to me. Where do you flourish? Close to God. If you never get close to God, if you don't attend church, if you don't draw nearer unto Him, please don't expect any of these blessings to follow your life, because they can't. Because the fresh anointing is released only in the lives of those who draw close to God. Those who live a life dedicated to, committed to God. Those who are in an active relationship with God. Knowing God is not good enough. You have to have a relationship with Him. You have to be in His presence. You have to live in His presence. You can't just run to Him when the pawpaw hits the fan and then expect the blessings to follow and demand the anointing. That's not how it works, my friend. Live in the presence of God. Spend time with Him daily. I know you go to work. I know you've got a very active, busy life. I know that your children do sports and there are many things that demand your time. But I promise you that if you try, you will find time for God every day. You just ask Him to help you and He'll show you.
Amen.
And when you begin to live that kind of a life, and when God sees that you are earnest and that you are serious about these things, man, you better put in your seatbelt, because something is going to start happening. Because anointing is going to start being released in your life. Amen. So, you and I produce the spices. God releases the anointing. And we all need fresh anointing. I'm glad that the Lord touched your life 20 years ago. But what's happened since? If you can't tell me that much has happened since, then I'm telling you right now, you need fresh anointing. Where are you going to get it? What did the scripture say? Those that are in the house of God. Where are you tonight? If you need it tonight, God will give it to you.
Amen.
But you must want it.
Oh, yes.
All right. It's been wonderful having you with us. I pray that the Lord has touched your life in a really special way. And we don't want you to leave without using the opportunity to bless you. The Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. Unfortunately, in life it is often true that what we get from people is curse after curse after curse. People tend to be very negative, very destructive, and people speak a lot of things over our lives, when really we should be using the words to edify, to bless, to exalt. Please receive God's blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I bless you tonight. I bless you in your family. I bless you in your marriage. I bless you in your relationships. And I especially bless your relationship with God. May you grow and become that cedar of Lebanon. May you grow and become that mighty palm that provides fruit. May your life provide protection. May your life provide nourishment. May your life provide what God has destined you to do in the lives of so many people that He brings across your path. May the Lord grant you peace, joy, happiness, and yes, victory. Father, I thank you that you seal them now with the power of your Holy Spirit, and that this word finds its way into their hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen.